felt as he was plummeting to earth, the visor misted up because of his breath and the cold, scant atmosphere outside, and so he couldn't see any of his instruments. So what would you do if you're plummeting to earth and you can't tell how high up you are? He pulled the cord. He pulled it very early because he just wanted to be doubly sure that he pulled it in good time. That's how I would too. But as a result, he got the highest, but not the longest, free fall, because he wasn't able to pull it at the time that he was hoping that he would pull it because he couldn't see his instruments. So that would be an example, an example perhaps where it could have saved someone's life of having alternative outputs in a real everybody device. If we could bring up the emotional one. Another aspect. Another impairment category might be someone with Asperger's or autism, where we've already got software that can do real-time emotion recognition. So you've got a camera built into your glasses. It's looking at whatever you're looking at. We all know that smartphones can do facial recognition. They can spot a face. They can also focus on it. They can even recognize who the face is to be able to unlock the phone, for example. So here, you just build in this, and then it becomes an everybody device for that category of people as well. So on the heads-up display, it will say, so-and-so is not very happy, perhaps you ought to change the subject. It's a real and everyday issue with autism or Asperger's. So this is the sort of approach that a diverse persona model would look like. We heard just a minute ago about how it's really difficult to design for everybody. At AbilityHour, our approach is to have a number of personas. We've got 11 core personas that don't just reflect the standard demographics that you'd think about in persona models, young, old, rich, poor, familiar with technology, unfamiliar, and have a lot of time, don't have much time, and we've woven into those a range of different impairments. And we've got another four that are sort of more extreme cases, take 15. And that's what we would advocate as being core to the approach of everybody's design. So, other things that you could build into that device, on the list there we've also got iVoice, which is a real-time translation package. So for people, and voice recognition package, so for people who are deaf, Google Glasses would be an absolute boon, because with the built-in microphone, we know there's a microphone because he said, pause music, and he also dictated a text to someone or a message. Then that microphone, could be listening to people around him, talking to him, do the recognition, and then put subtitles up on the heads-up display, instant subtitles for people who are deaf. Now, we don't know because the product isn't out yet, but if the microphone that's built into it is only sensitive enough to hear you and other people a few feet away, then it won't be an everybody device. It won't be inclusive because you haven't thought about, what about those people that, where it needs to pick up people around you that are talking as well, so it wouldn't work in that situation. Similarly, for people for whom English isn't their first language, which is a quarter of the population, you could use the built-in translation of iVoice or Say Hi, there's a whole bunch of them that would do exactly the same thing, but the subtitles wouldn't come up in English, they'd come up in your language, for example, using Google Translate. So the options and the possibilities for people right across the spectrum of impairment and need are huge where everybody's technology approach is employed. We'll finish off by looking at Google, another Google product, as it happens, which is autonomous vehicles. Now, don't stop. I was lucky enough to be speaking at a conference in Vegas a few months ago. Nevada is the first state in America to actually make autonomous vehicles legal on the road, so you can actually see vehicles moving, as we'll see in a second, without any driver in at all. For the last 2 years in the States, the Google Street View cars have been driving autonomously, but they've always had a driver in the seat. Otherwise, it would freak people out. I'm not sure how to be managing them, but it is legal to drive them completely autonomously in Nevada. I wish I'd been able to grab hold of one, because I'm very excited about this development as well. And in those 2 years, they never crashed one. So this is, again, mature technology. The only incident was where somebody else rear-ended one of their cars. That wasn't their fault. So let's run that VT, please. Again, I'll describe what's going on.
Autonomous labs, crowd descriptions.
So I'll audio describe someone outside a hotel. This has been edited, you can see the sort of full video online. They're using an app on their tablet to call the taxi. They can see the taxi coming on the app on the tablet. Then you see the taxi coming out of the car park on it by itself, and it's got the gadget on top, which is the LiDAR, the combination of radar and lasers. And then it approaches the chap, and he gets in, and it drives off autonomously. I don't know if it's in the back, I can't remember. I don't think I've asked people that. But anyway, it's doing the driving. So, have a look at that full video online. I'll tweet the links in a moment. Really, really exciting. And it's here today. And this is Berlin, and there's going to be a fleet of them in Berlin very, very soon. So, how would that be everybody technology? Well, obviously it's hugely empowering for a whole range of people. But the key thing here is that it's not aimed specifically at disabled people. Just like Project Glass, it's not aimed specifically at disabled people. If it were, it might not be half as functional as it would if it was aimed as a mainstream product. And it might be five times as expensive. So it's a mainstream product, and I personally, if it's added on to the price of a standard car, if it's like an optional extra, I'd pay an extra $5 or $10K so that I could use the car as well as my wife. So what would make this an everybody product? Well, again, think of diverse personas. What about if that iPad app, or it's probably a tablet, it's probably a Nexus 7 actually, because it's a Google demo, but anyway, so that tablet, if that app isn't accessible, it doesn't speak to me, you can't have increased text size for people with a vision impairment, etc., it's not a simple enough interface for people with a cognitive difficulty, then they can't call one. So, you know, they wouldn't be able to take advantage of that fleet of taxis. So that's one area where, you know, people might not necessarily have thought, but they would if they were thinking of a diverse persona approach. When the car comes, are there going to be wheelchair accessible versions in this fleet of taxis? If so, if not, then you know, wheelchair users can't take advantage of the autonomous fleet. When you get in, is it going to speak to you as you're going along? For example, for blind people to say, we haven't got there yet, and then we stopped, but we're just at traffic lights, so don't get out. So things like that, which there are a number, but it's not rocket science, and this is what we're trying to get across. Do what you're doing, but think about diverse personas, because in many cases, it's just from thinking about things from their viewpoint. And those tweaks, the gain in the microphone, the ability to have speech output on Google Glasses as well as heads-up display, the ability to have the dashboard speak to you as you're driving along, are little tweaks on the grand scale of things, but could make that from a, you know, a product that's 380, which is the norm, and that number's falling, by the way, with the aging population, to one where it caters for people in the high 90s. So one final closing comment. We've had mention of fridges and various, you know, TVs and various other products. We would argue that you could make products as dumb as a toaster everybody technology, because the vast majority of products have a chip of some sort, even the toaster's got a chip in at the moment. And whilst it's not reasonable to build in speech output or a braille display or to be able to operate it by a switch for people with, you know, severe motor difficulties into your fridge or your microwave or your toaster, we would argue that it is reasonable, and it's an everybody technology approach, to build in into that chip, into that brain of a very dumb device, the ability to interface with a very smart device, like a smartphone. So why can't these ATMs? There's a vanishingly small number of ATMs in the country that have speech output, for example. So I have to ask somebody next to me, which is a very difficult and potentially hazardous operation.